Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, it's the first private takeover in Florida of a county public school system. All of the students in Jefferson County, Florida, are now charter school students. That's because there are no traditional public schools left in that county. Jefferson is a small county east of Tallahassee with about 14,000 residents.
I mean, it's really staggering when you think about Jefferson County.
Some of the students that are in high school have never attended a school with a passing grade.
This is a very new experiment for Florida.
When we think of charter schools, you think of choice. That's not what we're doing. These students in Jefferson County have no choice.
That's from a documentary, Chartered, Florida's first private takeover of a public school system, from WLRN Public Media. Now, this explores how an entire county school system changes to charter schools, what the impact has been for some of the families, and how the experiment is changing public education throughout the state here in Florida.
That's right. Such a big issue for the state, Tom. We are spending the full hour today here on the Florida Roundup looking at the growth of the charter school movement in Florida. And we want to hear from all of you, whether you're a parent, a student, a teacher, maybe you just have a school in your neighborhood. Give us a call wherever you are in the state. The number to join us is 305-995-1800. Send those tweets to @FloridaRoundup. Let's begin with reporter Jessica Bateman of WLRN. She's worked on this project for years, hosting and producing the Chartered documentary looking at Jefferson County, Florida. Jessica, why did Jefferson County lose its traditional public schools in the first place?
So Jefferson County was really in a perfect storm of having both a financial emergency and an academic emergency. So the school district definitely struggled with a lot of the problems that affect a lot of rural communities in terms of, you know, losing jobs, losing population, and public schools are funded based on enrollment. So as students left the school district, they lost money. And also, definitely, there was severe dysfunction and financial mismanagement on the part of local elected officials in Jefferson County. There's, of course, an elected school board and also an elected superintendent there. And so in the summer of 2016, Jefferson County was in an official state of financial emergency, which under state law allows the State Department of Education to appoint a financial emergency board to essentially take over the district's finances. At the same time, the schools had been struggling for a very long time. It had been since 2009 before either their elementary school or their middle high school had earned at least a C under the state's system for grading public school performance. And so years of D's and F's and a financial system in ruins gave the state really a tremendous, maybe unprecedented amount of power over the district, and state officials in both the State Department of Education as well as the legislature pushed this to happen, to become the first all-charter school district in Florida.
So, Jessica, perfect storm of financial and academic failures in Jefferson County. But who ultimately made the decision for the entire school system, all the schools in Jefferson County, to go charter?
So it really comes down to the State Board of Education. So that's an appointed board. The members are appointed by the governor. And basically, when schools are failing for a long time or struggling for a long time, there are state laws that come into play that say, okay, the State Board of Education can get involved and force the superintendent and the school board in those districts to make some radical changes in their schools in hopes of trying to quickly improve them. And so that's what happened here. The Jefferson County district had been kind of around and around with the State Board of Education for years because of their struggling schools. And in the summer of 2016, it was 3 years ago, that was when the State Board of Education started really talking about, okay, what are we going to do in Jefferson County? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the State Board gave Jefferson County School District three options, one of which was closing the schools altogether and sending the students to other counties, which the local elected officials did not find acceptable. Of course, they want community schools. And one of the other options was not really viable. So they basically were pushed pretty hard in the direction of an all-charter school district.
So what was the role of the publicly elected school board in this decision to essentially go all private?
Well, the way they put it, you know, they really feel as if they didn't have any choice. You know, they were facing losing their schools altogether, like literally having the schools close and having no public schools in their community. So they didn't necessarily want to go all charter school, but they definitely thought that that was a better option than, you know, the schools closing.
Okay. And so since charters have come into Jefferson County. By the way, this is a South Florida-based charter company, right, Jessica? Managing the schools way up in North Florida. What's been the outcome?
Yes. So the charter school network that ultimately took over the schools in Jefferson County is called Somerset Academy. It was founded in Miramar in 1997. There are more than 60 schools, mostly in Florida, mostly in South Florida, although they do have some campuses in other states as well, Texas, Arizona. And basically, Somerset came in the fall of 2017, so they are currently in the beginning of the third school year under the charter school network. And they did see some quick improvement in terms of academics. So, you know, obviously we talk a lot about school grades when we think about how to look at school performance. Certainly school grades are not perfect. They don't necessarily tell the whole story, but they are, you know, the way that the state determines whether there needs to be intervention in a school. And so they are important and high stakes. Mm-hmm. And in the very first year under the new charter schools, now the schools are organized as three schools, an elementary, a middle, and a high. All three of them came up to C's for the first time in about a decade. In fact, the high school initially earned a B, which was later revised down to a C, but it was close to a B. And then in the second year, we saw the middle and high schools maintain their C grades, but the elementary school actually came back down to a D. It is pretty close to a C, but certainly, you know, that is disappointing for the people who are there who want to see continued momentum and continued progress. And the thing about school grades, too, is that, you know, they're not just based on absolute performance. They're based a lot on improvement. And so even though in that first year under the charter schools, most students, more than half of students in the district, still failed state tests in math and English. Mm. However, they were able to get those C grades because they had improved so much from the previous year. And that makes that progress and momentum really hard to maintain.
Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran appears in Jessica's chartered radio documentary, and he touts the takeover of schools in Jefferson County as a model he'd like to see replicated across the state. Here's Corcoran.
Look what Somerset's already done in Jefferson County that the public system couldn't do for decades. We should have more of it, not less of it.
Not everyone agrees with that, though. We'll go to your calls about the charter school growth and movement in Florida in a moment here on the Florida Roundup at 305-995-1800. Already getting tweets at Florida Roundup. Let's welcome Ben Wilcox. He's research director with Integrity Florida, a nonpartisan research group that recently released a report criticizing the impact of charter schools in the state. And Ben, Integrity Florida looked at the data and argues that despite the successes we're hearing about out of Jefferson County and some other places around the state, your data says charters have largely failed in their mission to offer innovations in education, and also notes that nearly 400 charters in Florida have closed over the last couple of decades. What research went into this report, and why, in Integrity Florida's view, have charters not succeeded in their mission?
Well, for a large part, in many cases, I would say, charter schools have succeeded in their original mission. And we acknowledge in the report that there are a number of high-performing charter schools in the state, schools that consistently make A grades and fulfill the original intent and purpose of the charter school program when it began, which was to encourage innovation in education and develop best practices that can lead to education reform. However, our report also found that there are serious issues with charter schools in Florida, issues that should be of concern to Florida taxpayers. The report identified what we found to be hidden costs to taxpayers that are built into the charter school system, costs that are draining public funds that should be put toward educating children in the state of Florida.
What are those hidden costs that you've identified?
Well, we go back to the high closure rate of charter schools. Nearly 400 charter schools have closed since charter schools began operating in Florida in the late 90s. That's an average of 20 charter school closures a year. And every time a charter school closes, it costs taxpayers money. It's very hard to recover the money that's been allocated to a failing charter school once it closes. And if it closes in the middle of a school year, it puts tremendous strain on the local school districts, which then have to, you know, find ways to accommodate the students who are displaced, as well as the teachers who have lost their jobs.
Ben, we invited several representatives of charter school operators and the industry to join us here on the Florida Roundup. One of them from IDEA Public Schools, based in Texas, agreed to appear but then canceled. IDEA is planning on opening its first charter school in Florida in Tampa in 2021. There are several others that we contacted, again, operators and industry representatives that essentially turned us down for the invitation. But let me ask you, in terms of what your report found and the concerns that you raise here in terms of tax dollars and the private nature of charter schools within the public school environment, how would you describe the accountability that is in Florida law as it relates to charter school operators that have to operate these schools under publicly elected school boards?
Well, there is very little accountability, actually, and in Florida we've moved away from putting accountability for charter schools with the school districts. Rather, they're pretty much only accountable to their nonprofit boards. School districts in Florida have very little ability these days to manage the schools within their districts. For example, if someone wants to bring a charter school to a district, they make an application to the district. There's very little criteria out there that a school district can deny an application. But if the school district does deny the application, the charter can then appeal to the state. The state charter school appeal commission,
yeah.
and those applications are routinely granted.
Are granted, and certainly state leadership in the legislature, the governor's office, are squarely on the side of charter school expansion, and you note that in your study. But let me ask you as well, another big criticism of charter schools is that tax dollars are often funneled to for-profit companies. About 45% of Florida's charter schools are managed by for-profit corporations. The national rate is about 15%. And so where does Integrity Florida fall on that criticism that taxpayer money for education is going toward for-profit corporations?
Well, and that's where we found the lion's share of the problems with the charter school industry is with the for-profit charter schools. You know, at worst, the for-profit charter school looks like a taxpayer scam that's more like corporate welfare than it is public education. What routinely happens is, especially among the two big charter school companies in Florida, Charter Schools USA and Academica, those companies, well, the charter school originally gets set up with a nonprofit board, but that board then contracts with one of these big charter school, for-profit charter school companies to manage the school. That charter school company is then paid a fee for managing those schools. typically, and both of those big charter school companies have development sister corporations. For Charter Schools USA, it's called Red Apple Development. Now, Red Apple Development will come in and renovate a space for the charter school or build the whole facility. And once the school begins operations, then they have to pay rent mm-hmm. or lease payments to the sister corporation of the charter school company. So this is all money that is meant to be used to educate our children.
Jessica, you know, but it's going, what is that business relationship in Jefferson County that is on display? Ben is talking about kind of how it can work. How does it work on the ground in the panhandle?
Yeah, so in Jefferson County, it's a little bit different given that, you know, it is the only public school system that has been taken over by charter schools. You know, the buildings that they're using are school district buildings that, you know, it's not as if they're renting from some private landlord in Jefferson County. Ben obviously started to explain the way these sort of relationships work. So essentially you have the charter school networks themselves, which are nonprofits. So Somerset is a nonprofit, and there are also several others that are affiliated with Academica, which Ben mentioned. Mm-hmm. They include the Doral Academy, the Mater Academy, and the Pinecrest Academy networks, which you probably recognize if you're in South Florida, because those schools are mm-hmm. all over the place. They were, if you look at state records, all of those were founded by the people who founded Academica, which is this for-profit corporation that's based in Miami. So essentially, you have people who are running a for-profit company, and then they also founded these charter school networks that then pay the for-profit company to help with administrative tasks in the schools. For example, recruiting staff, complying with federal and state regulations, and, you know, people at the charter school networks say that Academica is something of a third party vendor. They don't have much power. You know, they're just, you know, a vendor like any school would use a vendor. But obviously, like I said, you know, the people who founded Academica were a part of founding those networks. And also, you know, in researching for my documentary, I received hundreds of pages of internal emails that were exchanged between the principal and other administrators at Somerset Jefferson and, you know, people who work for the Academica company. And it's very clear that people who work for Academica are closely involved in even the day-to-day operations of the schools. I do have a couple of thoughts on some of what Ben was saying. I want to point out, you know, when he was talking about school closures for charter schools, that, you know, the system that I sort of explained earlier about how, you know, if a traditional public school has a D or an F grade for a long time, they go through this process where they try to turn the school around and the State Board of Education gets involved. Charter schools don't have, like, a lot of time if they fail. One of the things that really does reflect accountability of charter schools in state law is that if a charter school is performing poorly, it gets shut down pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
So,
yeah.
Right.
And there are some differences there. And let me just let folks know, you're listening to the Florida Roundup. Lots of calls, lots of tweets as we speak about the growth of the charter school movement in Florida and the WLRN documentary Chartered. Keep listening and call us up right now. We'll get to your calls and tweets in a moment. 305-995-1800. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. Charter schools continuing to gain popularity in Florida. Thousands of students attend these schools across the state. These are publicly funded but privately run. And that combination is the source of conflict for some. In the past year, for instance, voters in several counties in Florida have okayed higher property taxes with the money to go to pay for school security and higher teacher pay. But there has been some debate over how much of the money should be shared with charter
that
schools.
That is certainly the case in Duval County, Jacksonville, where a nasty fight is brewing over this. The school district wants to ask voters in Duval to increase the sales tax by a half penny. The half-cent sales tax would be used to pay for school improvements. Duval County public schools are some of the oldest and most run down in the state. But the Jacksonville City Council has tried to stop the vote. Some council members say there needs to be a big carve-out of this tax money set aside for charter schools, even though those buildings are much newer. The Duval School Board has hired a high-profile legal team to fight the city council. Here's attorney Audrey Moran.
We believe this issue is critical for the future of public education in Duval County. The school system is desperate for better infrastructure to house and educate our children in this community. And all that's being asked at this point is let the voters vote. The voters have been blocked from voting. We believe that was improper and illegal, and we want to get this issue to the voters as quickly as possible.
So many tweets here on the Florida Roundup about charter schools. Here's just two to show the split on public opinion on this. A listener tweets, charters are competing with neighborhood schools and depleting their populations and budgets. It leads to lots of problems. Here's a tweet, though, from the principal of Wayman Academy in Jacksonville. She says, don't dismiss that state analysis showing that charters are doing a better job serving students. I'm a charter principal serving 100% low-income students in Jacksonville. And this is my reality, she says. It's 305-995-1800 to join the Florida Roundup. We're continuing now with Jessica Bateman of WLRN. Her documentary, Chartered, looks at the takeover of a public school system in Jefferson County. Also with us, Ben Wilcox. He's research director of Integrity Florida. They've studied the impact of charters here in the Sunshine State.
And we did invite several representatives of the charter school operators and industry to join us here on the Florida Roundup. One from IDEA Public Schools first agreed to appear, but then canceled our invitation. 305-995-1800 across the state in Davie in Broward County. Pamela on line four. Pamela, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Well, I guess both of my girls who are now in their early 30s, grew up in the charter system. So it was good during elementary, but I was always at a loss that both the public system and the charter system, they did just barely enough academically to get by. So I was at odds as far as getting anything resembling what I considered a quality education. My youngest daughter went to college, but she struggled because the foundation wasn't good enough. I was always filling in at home, you know, trying to push her into a higher level of learning curve. And so now last year she was at Somerset. She was a first year middle school teacher at Somerset in Pembroke Pines. And she found that there was no support system, no infrastructure, no protocol. She basically got thrown into the classroom, said she had six classes a day, over 40 kids in the class. Some of them didn't have chairs. And then she was supposed to produce results. She was surprised at the level of intellectual level that the kids had. They were very low. And so she left that position. Now she's at a charter school, Franklin, which just opened its high school and middle school campus in Sea Ranch, not in Sea Ranch, in Southwest Ranches. So she's also finding that the equipment is, I mean, the building's brand new and gorgeous. So the campus is gorgeous, but there's limitations.
Pamela, we hear you. We got a lot of calls to go to, but I appreciate that insight there from a charter school student, from a parent of a charter school student to a charter school teacher. Jessica Bateman, what about the conditions inside these buildings, particularly in Jefferson County, for instance, as you mentioned? The private takeover of that county school system was initiated because of academic and financial failure. What do the charter schools look like on the inside compared to what the traditional public schools were like in Jefferson County previous?
Yeah, well, one of the very first things they did when Somerset Academy arrived in Jefferson County was do a bunch of renovations to the school building. So they, because of the state, they consolidated the elementary, middle, and high schools all on one campus. You know, there's a fresh coat of paint. They got rid of graffiti. They put down a new gym floor. They created a culinary lab for training students in food services. Since they have created an arts and media lab for elementary school students. And You know, one of the things that the caller got at was, you know, she was saying that she was dissatisfied with the way her kids had been served in both traditional public schools and charter schools. And I think it brings up a good point in that, you know, people like to paint this picture as black and white. You know, one is all good, one is all bad. The reality is that schools face a lot of problems, a lot of challenges everywhere. And a lot of that has to do with the resources in the community. And, you know, the legislature in recent years has been paying a lot more attention to what do we do about struggling schools? How do we make them better? And from Republican legislators who lead the legislature, you often hear, well, money isn't the answer. Simply putting more money into something, you know, isn't going to change things. You need cultural change. And certainly in my reporting, I found a lot of people who were sort of on both sides of that issue. But what is really important to consider if you're trying to determine, you know, how successful was the takeover in Jefferson County, you have to look at the fact that millions more dollars got poured into that charter school takeover than what the traditional public schools had access to previously. And the legislature, even though we're only 2 years in, and there have been, you know, some triumphs and some struggles in Jefferson County, the legislature is already saying that was a success. Mm-hmm. We want to see more charter schools throughout the state. And Jefferson County had received a couple million dollars from a program called Schools of Hope. So basically that was a law championed in 2017 by then House Speaker Richard Corcoran, who is now the Education Commissioner. And it said, okay, if you're a high performing charter school network, we'll give you lots of money, millions of dollars, if you will come and open a school in a community where a traditional public school has been failing, literally in the 5 mile radius or attendance zone of that failing school. And Jefferson was the first beneficiary of that program. And now we're seeing, first of all, the legislature expanding it. And also we're seeing those national charter school networks that really the program was designed to attract starting to come here to Miami, Tampa, and Jacksonville.
Ben Wilcox, research director with Integrity Florida, in your criticism and reporting on the charter school industry in Florida and how it has materialized in the state, you point out the cost of failed charter schools. Supporters of charter schools will say they're more market oriented, where they do fail and fail fast if they're going to fail. Whereas public schools, as the case in Jefferson County, those public schools had been failing for years with really no results.
You know, well, I think you need to make a distinction between the charter schools that are run by the for-profit corporations and then charter schools that are just run by their own nonprofit, you know, boards. And I'll give you a couple of examples. As part of the report, we looked at Leon County, where I live.
Home in Tallahassee.
In Tallahassee, yes. And we have a charter school called the School of Arts and Sciences. It's a nonprofit charter school run by a local board. And since it was founded in 2002, it's consistently gotten an A grade every year. And it's a school, you know, frankly, that every, you know, parents in Leon County compete to send their children to. Then we have another charter school called Governor's Academy, which is a part of the Charter Schools USA for-profit charter school. That school is struggling because of declining enrollment. They're struggling to pay their yearly rent to Red Apple Development, which built the school, which is over $1 million a year. And they're struggling academically. So, you know, I think that
It's a mixed bag, and it's 305-995-1800 to join the Florida Roundup. We'll go to some more calls in a moment. Here's a statement from the Kipp School in Miami. They say, we feel that all children should have access to a high-quality public education, and families should be able to choose from a range of options. They say, with Schools of Hope, we receive funding that allows us to achieve our goal of reaching more students from underserved communities. You know, Ben, that's certainly been the argument in favor of expanded charterization of schools in Florida and other states, helping students in underserved communities. That's certainly the term that we hear a lot, have another opportunity, another chance to pick a different school. What I hear you saying from your report, looking at Integrity Florida's data on this, is that the results have been somewhat of a mixed bag with some successes. And at the same time, you've been critical of the funding drain of charters on Florida. And I want to ask you about that in particular, given that this new initiative in the state, Schools of Hope, is expanding significantly taxpayer funding for charter schools. And so how do you see that playing out in the state? How is that going to play out?
Well, you know, charter schools and the other so-called educational choices that we're offering in Florida, you know, kind of all fly under the banner of school choice. And everybody, pretty much everybody agrees that, you know, it's great to give parents and students options and, you know, provide choice. But, you know, what I fault the legislature for not doing is not doing a cost analysis to determine, you know, how much choice can we, you know, offer.
At what point then is choice, in your view or in the view of critics, moving from a positive to perhaps a negative, or at least something with mixed results? So many strong opinions on social media as we talk about the growth of charter schools in Florida, getting tweets from, in particular, the Wayman Academy in Jacksonville, pointing out the incredible success they've had with their student population. Here's another tweet. This sounds, though, like doctors funneling patients to clinics they own. It shouldn't be legal for academia to do this. Tom, you know, this is such an emotional issue for folks, whether or not you have kids in the school system. People tend to fall, and I have to say, they tend to fall often on partisan lines on this issue, whether they support or oppose increased funding for charter schools. It's become quite a partisan issue.
And I think Jessica identified this to say it's not black or white. It's not one or the other, pro-charter or pro-traditional public schools, that there really is a lot of gray area here. Let me remind folks that you are listening to the Florida Rondo from Florida Public Radio. One tweet really caught my eye here, saying, let's ensure that the child is at the center of our education system. We must drop all excuses for underperformance, charter or not. Jessica Bakeman, what about the child at the center of the debate as it comes to the real microscope that Jefferson County is under here in Florida as the first private takeover of a public school system?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, and we keep coming back to it because much of what we've been talking about and much of what is covered in my documentary is about the process of how this happened. And that's certainly worth our consideration, the fact that there are potential conflicts of interest in the legislature with people who work for the charter school industry who are making this happen, with the loss of local control where local elected officials are not able to make decisions about the schools and their communities. But I do think we do need to keep coming back to this question, okay, is it better for the children? Are we offering the children a better opportunity? And what we found in our documentary is that the takeover of the schools in Jefferson County by the Charter School Network Somerset has been transformational for many students. There were students who said, you know, before I didn't think I had a future, I wasn't thinking about college, and now they've really shown us that we have a chance at life, that we matter, that we mean something. You know, I think there's a lot to be said about the resources and the attention that is going into Jefferson and how the kids there feel about that. Like, they feel like people care about them now. At the same time, you know, we looked closely at some of the discipline practices that are being used at Somerset Jefferson. And one of the things that they have done to try to deal with some extreme discipline issues is what they call a 45-day alternative to expulsion. So essentially, if a student has done something that could potentially get them expelled. Instead of being expelled, they have this other option where they can get a laptop, a portable Wi-Fi device, and be enrolled in virtual school, which they would then complete at home. And I was able to, you know, follow up with some of the families who were assigned to this alternative to expulsion. It certainly wasn't what they wanted. And, you know, a couple of the kids, unfortunately, you know, it really didn't work out well for them. They were home doing the program. They were trying to get back to school. And ultimately, they were not allowed to go back to school. They say that they tried to after the 45 days and Somerset wouldn't let them. Somerset wouldn't comment on this, citing federal privacy laws. And it is worth noting that charter schools do not have the authority to expel students in Florida. Only elected school boards have that. And students are supposed to get due process, a hearing in front of the school board, before they can be completely kicked out of school, because of course children have a constitutional right to a public education. And unfortunately, those two students ended up in jail.
It's a 45-day suspension or expulsion. Is that one of the tools that public schools have to use with disciplinary issues?
So I would clarify that, you know, they don't call it a suspension or expulsion. They call it an alternative placement. And certainly public schools do have options for alternatives. A lot of public school districts will have alternative schools, like a separate campus where students can go. And we've talked about that a lot in terms of Broward County. If you remember, the Promise Program is that alternative program that came under some scrutiny after the shooting by a former student at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. And there are definitely, you know, online virtual programs that schools use as well. But as far as, you know, thinking about what the actual impact is for a student to be just out of school for that many days, typically traditional public schools can only suspend students for up to 10 days and then they would move for expulsion. And I spoke with one leader of a charter school network in Polk County. It's called Lake Wales.
And we'll have
His
to.
His name is
and
Jesse
we'll
Jackson.
To,
he's the superintendent.
We'll have to hear that after the break.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's still more to come here on the Florida Roundup, a full hour this Friday on the growth of charter schools. Get on the line, 305-995-1800. Keep listening. This is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio, a hot topic. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here from Florida Public Radio. Thanks again for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, an experiment in charter schools is underway in a rural county in the Florida Panhandle. This year is the third school year. All of the schools in Jefferson County are charter schools. It's a small county with just a few schools, but it's been touted as an example of how charters can be successful. Corey Oliver is the principal at Somerset Academy in Jefferson County.
I mean, everybody tells me, everybody's watching. Is it a big deal if this school is successful? Absolutely. It affects charter schools all across the state of Florida. This school being the first takeover of a public school district, it makes sense to me why people would want to see if this, and I've heard it called an experiment, if this experiment works. And it has to.
That's from the documentary Chartered, Florida's First Private Takeover of a Public School System. You can find a podcast of the full documentary by searching Chartered Florida on iTunes. 305-995-1800 is the phone number, or on Twitter at Florida Roundup.
As we continue with Jessica Bakeman, who produced the documentary Chartered, Florida's First Private Takeover of a Public School System, and Ben Wilcox, Research Director of Integrity Florida, we invited several representatives from charter school operators to join us. One from Idea Public Schools agreed to appear, but then canceled. Lots of calls and tweets. Meanwhile, let's go to Pat in Tampa. Hey, Pat, you're on the air.
Hey, I have done a six-year in-depth research study on charter schools with the League of Women Voters of Florida, and we have found things that have not been mentioned. We have many legislators who own charter schools, are benefiting from charter schools. Manny Diaz in the legislature is behind Somerset and Academica. He is paid by them, and he pushed that starting in Jefferson County. Those children in Jefferson County on this alternative program. They should have been given an alternative teacher from the charter schools. The charter schools do not want any alternative children. They don't want any ESE children. They don't want anybody who's going to cost an extra dollar to educate. Principals require no diploma, no high school, no training to be a principal. Teachers are required to be certified, but of course we found out some places they haven't been, and they're not teaching what they're certified in. So the parent who talked about the equipment supplies, middle schoolers don't have science labs in charter school because they're not required to. Guidance counselors are not in charter schools because they're not required to have guidance.
I hear
counselors.
You, Pat. Yeah. Sometimes not the same standards for some charter schools as opposed to traditional schools. Certainly during Hurricane Dorian, public school advocates pointed out, look, we're held to higher building standards because our schools are shelters in a storm. But let me get both Jessica and Ben Wilcox to react to what that caller had to say. Jessica, let's start with you, then Ben.
Just quickly finish my thought from right before the break.
Sure.
We were talking about that 45-day alternative to expulsion that some students in Somerset Jefferson have been assigned to, and I spoke with a different charter school leader in Polk County, and the point that he made was, if you think about students who are academically distressed, what he said was being out of school for 2, 3, 4 days is a hardship. Not being in a classroom for 45 days, he said, is failure. So I thought that was interesting to get that take from someone who is the leader of a charter school network. You know, he is in that charter school world. And in terms of what the caller was saying, you know, I think certainly we should be careful not to paint with too broad of a brush. I don't know that every single charter school doesn't have a guidance counselor. There certainly are different standards and different laws that apply to charter schools versus traditional public schools.
Right. Ben Wilcox, as you've been discussing and researching, there are plenty of very high performing charter schools around the state, but the performance varies depending on the school and its management. Can you react to what she had to say?
You know, to the caller's point, I think it gets down to accountability. And the problem is that the charter schools are only accountable to their boards. They're not accountable to the local school districts, which the traditional public schools are accountable to the school district. So if a parent has a problem with a traditional public school, they can go to their school district and complain and go to the board meeting and voice their complaints. But for a charter school, you would have to go to the nonprofit board meeting to make those complaints, and for corporate charter schools that are run by the for-profit corporations, a lot of times their board meeting will be a phone call.
Could be held by people out of state. And, you know, honestly, at the heart of this debate is whether ideologically it seems you're okay with a business for-profit model being used for your children's education, or you're fundamentally not comfortable with that. Isn't that kind of at the heart of this, Ben?
I think so. I mean, a for-profit corporation that is running a charter school has to make they have to make money. That's by definition they're designed to make a profit, and that profit comes from the dollars that are allocated to educate the students in that school.
Ben, let me remind folks that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Ben Wilcox with Integrity Florida, the charter school parent who is kind of happy with the choice, will point out that the accountability in the public school system, however, with these failing schools especially, has been lacking in some cases for years. In the case of Jefferson County, for instance, for the better part of a decade that the traditional schools were not improving, whereas charter schools, perhaps because of the business governance structure that they have, are guided by more accountability, certainly to the parent, if not the dollar.
Here's a tweet for you from the Florida Charter School Alliance listening to the show, and they say, according to the State Department of Education, 74% of public charter schools earned an A or B on the 2019 state assessment compared to 61% of district-run schools. Opponents will pick that apart, saying, as some have pointed out this hour, charter schools can pick their students to a certain point. But Jessica Bakeman, what about that statistic that comes from the state's Department of Education?
Yeah, that's actually really interesting, in part because where that comes from is basically a press release that came out from the Department of Education when the most recent school grades were released. And as we mentioned before, the new education commissioner is Richard Corcoran. He's the former Republican House Speaker. He is an avid proponent of charter schools. And many reporters and other people who care about education and watch education noted, you know, on Twitter when that press release came out that, you know, it was really interesting to see it framed that way. Like it literally said, like, this percentage of charter schools got this grade versus this percentage of traditional public schools. And I think a lot of people would take issue with that in terms of the fact that it's being presented as this competition. Mm-hmm. It's being presented as this either or. And I think the healthiest charter schools often are really working together with the school district, collaborating and trying to, you know, at least to the extent possible, kind of manage that relationship in a way that doesn't just become a petty, you know, we got a better grade than you kind of thing.
Well, we should note that while that tweet that Melissa, you mentioned, came from the Florida Charter School Alliance, we did invite the alliance to be part of this conversation, but they rejected our invitation. Jessica, let me also ask you about the caller Pat from Tampa and her concern about the political connections between legislators, lawmakers, regulators, and the charter school industry. And you spoke about kind of the competition here. What are some of those webs that have been woven?
Yeah, so we've mentioned Academica. That's the for-profit company based in Miami that, you know, has that is affiliated with several charter school networks that have hundreds of schools around South Florida, around the state, and even in other parts of the country. That company also has a college called Doral College. It's in Miami-Dade County. And the founding president of Doral College was Anna Terry Flores. She is a state senator. She was a state senator at the time. And the chief operating officer of Doral College is Manny Diaz, who is now a state senator and previously was in the House of Representatives. Both of them have been very influential on education policy, in particular on charter school policy. And, you know, this is one of the potential conflicts of interest that we explore in the documentary, specifically looking at now Senator Diaz. His connections to Somerset Jefferson are even much closer than just the fact that, you know, both Doral College and Somerset that are affiliated with the same for-profit company, Academica, but also Doral College was founded with the express purpose of offering college-level courses at charter schools, including Somerset schools, including the schools in Jefferson County. So Somerset actually pays Doral College more than $100,000 a year to offer college-level courses in those schools. And so here you have the chief operating officer of that college who is in the legislature working to help make that charter school takeover by Somerset happen.
And that gives just a short window into, by the way, years of work you've done, Jessica, on this documentary, a complicated picture. I would encourage everyone to search Chartered Florida on iTunes and at WLRN.org.
And Melissa, if I can just say also WLRN.org/chartered.
Yes, and we will be airing it, by the way, at WJCT this Saturday at 4 o'clock on 89.9 FM. So thank you, Jessica Bakeman of WLRN and Ben Wilcox of Integrity Florida, for appearing today. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's our show. Thanks for listening. The Florida Roundup is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are producers.
Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming and our technical director this hour. WLRN's Director of Radio Operations is Peter Mertz. Engineering help from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Brady Corum. Our theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. Thanks for calling and tweeting. Sorry we couldn't get to all of the input. We do appreciate you listening. I'm Tom Hudson.
I'm Melissa Ross. We'll be back next Friday at noon. Have a great weekend. Let's hope that tropical storm stays far away from Florida. See you next week.